In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is, never shall be.
We all know the drill that when problems arise, we have to endeavor in some way to solve those problems. But I don't know if you're like me in this regard, but certainly many times in my life I've discovered that the solution, at least the anticipated solution to the problem, is oftentimes far more complicated than I could have ever imagined. And though I try everything that is in my power to do, I find sometimes I'm still missing something, some part of the component, some part of the equation that still hasn't been applied and ultimately fixed a solution. It happens in many avenues of life. It could be working on a car, it could be completing some project, it could be a computer program that's not maintaining its settings. Whatever we try, it just doesn't sufficiently seem to solve these issues. And often, it can seem that way in our spiritual life. We recognize that there is something wrong in our life, and we recognize some solutions that are out there. And yet, we feel the solutions that are out there still are not sufficiently completely working for us. We employ the strategies, and yet we feel that we're still missing something. The anonymous rich man in the gospel text today must have felt much that way. He had kept the obvious commandments for some time, and yet he still felt he was missing something. And he came to Jesus seeking the answer to eternal life. When Christ names the commandments that the man should indeed be following, he says, "All of these I have observed." But then he asks a critical question: "What do I still lack?" And Jesus responded precisely to that question. It was his question, so he responds to that question: "If you wish to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor." And though he asked the question, and sincerely asked the question, I don't think this man was prepared for the answer that he received, because we recognize he had great wealth. It was difficult for him to internalize that answer to his ultimate question. It was difficult to respond to that call, to give it all away, and thus he left. He departed in sadness. Well, first of all, we must recognize that this is a very specific conversation that Jesus has with a very specific purpose, with a very specific person. And the command, it's not a blanket command given to everyone throughout all time, but it's a command given to this man. He asked what he was lacking, and Jesus answered the question: "You're lacking this." The teaching of Christ often deals with the realm of money. Christ repeatedly warns us of the dangers of riches. And there's many reasons that Jesus does that. Certainly the danger of riches are real. Riches so easily can become an idol in our life, and materialism so easily can creep into our life and affect our values and how we live our life. And Jesus, well aware of this fact, warns repeatedly of the dangers of riches. But there's also another reason that Jesus addresses the realm of riches. And that is because in his time, the day in which he lived, there was a prevailing notion of the day that was wrong. Riches were always interpreted in his day to be a sign of God's blessing on that individual. And so therefore, the common assumption, if someone is rich, God has blessed them. But likewise, the inverse was also true. If someone was poor, God has obviously neglected and forgotten and perhaps even cursed that person. And this mindset was wrong. It was not true. Certainly, we look at in the world in which we live and we recognize a reality that's out there. Sometimes people become rich, but they do it in the most ungodly manner. We recognize that people can employ all kinds of dishonest schemes by which they attain wealth. Certainly, God is not blessing this endeavor, and thereby they're blessed of God, achieving their wealth through devious and sometimes dishonest means. And likewise, it's also true. Some of the most delightful people I have met in life are living in poverty, and I recognize very clearly that God's favor and grace is upon their life. I'm sure many of you have recognized this throughout life. The mindset was wrong. God's blessing wasn't only on the rich and departed from the poor. No, Christ wanted them to understand that the path of salvation, the path that leads to the kingdom of heaven, involves a cross. It involves his cross, and it involves the cross of discipleship that all of us must take up. And whatever that issue is in our life that keeps us from following effectively the path of salvation must become part of the cross and part of our dying to self. We have to die to that very thing. Riches so easily can become that idol that separates us from God. And if that is the case, then surely we have to deal with that. We have to die to that idol. But riches can likewise be used in a way that honors God and helps the poor. And that is the goal that all of us should strive to live by. Whatever our material possessions are, we need to honor God with those material possessions. We need to help the poor in ways that we can. We need to constantly evaluate our finances, not just from a strategic investment standpoint, but from a spiritual perspective, to ask ourselves if we're doing what we should be doing in regards to giving to the church, in regards to giving to mission work, in regards to giving to the poor. Riches may indeed be a great temptation to us, and if this is the case, we have to be ever vigilant to honor God with our material possessions. However, the truth is also, I've met many people at this point in my life who really don't care about riches at all. They simply live a simple and frugal life, and that's the life that they want to live. It's not necessarily even something that is uniquely Christian. It is their own personality and the way that they view life. They love a simple and frugal life. They simply feel more comfortable in that setting and do not feel comfortable when they're surrounded by wealth. And so when we read this passage this morning, we definitely need to evaluate if money has a grip on us or not. And if it does, we need to correct our financial affairs. We need to make those adjustments so that we can honor God with our finances. However, we also, as we read this passage this morning, must not make the assumption Jesus is only talking about money. Because in fact, that is not at all the only point that Jesus is raising. See, we need to return to the rich man's haunting question, what do I still lack? In his life, what was lacking was death to this idol of his possessions and his wealth. But all of us must ultimately ask that question in a prayerful manner. What do I lack? Because ultimately, all of us have things that can come between us and God. And we need to constantly prayerfully ask that question, Lord, what do I lack? Am I missing something? What is the one thing I need to focus on in my life, the thing that I have no clarity on, that I needs to come into my focus and my attention? And for some of us, that issue, that one thing, may indeed be our finances, just like it was for this rich man. But for other people, it might be something else entirely. If we ask that question of the Lord, however, Lord, what am I lacking? What do I still lack? He does have a way of answering that question. I believe that this morning, for some of you, you recognize it is not wealth that is that one thing that you're lacking, but there is very clearly an area of your life that perhaps God has already revealed to you and shown you, an area that you have to face, an area that you are lacking in your pursuit of Christ and the kingdom of God. You see, this dialogue between Christ and the rich man was about so much more than just material possessions, so much more than just riches. It's ultimately a dialogue about the things that separate us from Christ, from taking up the cross and following after Christ. It's a dialogue about that figurative idolatry that has its way of creeping into all of our lives if we're not careful. Ultimately, the gospel text this morning is a call to die to that one thing that we lack and to follow Christ without hesitation and without distraction. If we have endeavored to follow after Christ and yet we feel that there is indeed something that is preventing us from moving on, from following Him effectively and fully, we need to seek wisdom from God. We need to ask for that wisdom from God. Like the rich man, I believe we need to ask the very question that he asked. Lord, what am I lacking? What do I still lack? And God has a way of answering that question for us, and He will show us what we lack. Show us that one thing that we are missing. And when God answers us, let us not be like the rich man in the gospel text today. Let us not be sorrowful about what we must give up. But rather, let us turn our attention to the joy of all that we gain in the process of giving up that one thing. Because we gain Christ in the process, and we can follow Him with an unhindered heart, with a heart that is full of Him, and thus can be filled with the peace of God and the joy that is everlasting. So this morning, let us lay down, each and every one of us, lay down that thing that separates us from our Lord. And let us follow after Christ, unhindered, without reservation. For He is indeed our peace, He is our joy, and He is ultimately our eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.